Welcome to the Unite Church podcast. For more information about Unite Church, visit unitechurchak.org. Now enjoy this message from Josh Tanner.
This is such a great night. It's one of my favorite services of the whole year where we get to just really focus in just on Jesus and who he is and what all of our life is all about. The core, most important part of each one of our lives is Jesus. And if it isn't, guess what? You're missing out. Your parents or friends or grandmas, or I don't know how many grandmas you have that drug you to church today, but they might have drug you here because, and you're here just before them, and they drug you because here their relationship with Jesus is that important to them that you would know about it. So open your heart up a little bit today and see if Jesus joining your life might just be the missing key to your joy, your peace, and your actual fulfillment in life. But even more importantly than that, it is what we were made for. And you know, when God makes things, or even a regular person makes something, it's designed for a purpose. And that tool or that item or that machine or whatever it happens to be, when it is not fulfilling its purpose, it feels useless. And so many times in our life, when we're struggling with feeling useless, it's actually because we're out of alignment with the purpose that God made us for. We're going to talk about one of the most important things, probably the core thing, I believe, that God made us for tonight. And so we were talking just in the last couple messages, if you made them, we've been in a little mini Christmas series, big surprise. And we were talking about Zechariah, and we're talking about Mary this morning, and we've been talking about their faith and the example of those two as they encountered the word of God, how they responded. And we had Zechariah encounter God, and he had a little bit of doubt that his physical abilities he was not capable of fulfilling the promise of God. And he learned really quick, it really wasn't up to him to fulfill the promise of God. It was up to his faith to participate in the promise God had made to him. And that is what it is for us as well. And that principle we talked about is that without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then we saw Mary, who really had quite a remarkable response. Maybe the most remarkable response in the entire Bible. I don't know. It's at least up there. Where she hears God speak to her. And same angel, by the way, delivering the word of the Lord. And her response is, hey, just as you said, I'm your servant. Let it be done exactly the way you said, even though I have no idea how you're going to do that. What a great response. And God's favor comes on Mary. And Mary has to go through some hard times to fulfill the word of the Lord. But we learn in this space that with God, all things are possible. So without faith, it is impossible. And with God, all things are possible. So what happens when you stumble along like Mary and you find the fulfillment of your dream, the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, the promise comes true, it comes to pass. How do you respond? What's the appropriate response when our faith moves into action and that action actually manifests the very thing God said he would do? What do you do? Well, let's find out what Simeon did when he met his promise. In Luke chapter 2, verse 21, 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, this is Jesus, he was named Jesus, and the name that was given to him by the angel before he was conceived. Verse 22, when it was time for the purification offering as required by the law of Moses, after the birth of the child, his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifices required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of two turtle doves or a pair of turtle doves. That would be four. Okay. Should read all the words in the Bible. Or two young pigeons. Okay, let's read ahead. Verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was a righteous and devout man and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, And he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord that the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is the light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Of course, he's referring to when Jesus would die on the cross, and that would pierce Mary's heart. There's so many pieces in here, but I want to point out some of the things that Simeon does and that are appropriate for us to do when we meet the promise, when our faith becomes actually manifested promise. So Simeon was waiting on the word of the Lord for years and years. And I actually love it that God, he does this. When Jesus came, what types of men did he choose as his disciples? Average Joes. He chose a bunch of Alaskan dudes, right? Guys that we would fit in. Gals that we would fit in with, right? Fishermen. Average people. Now, I don't hang out with very many tax collectors, so. Nobody liked to hang out with tax collectors then. They don't do it now. So, okay, I'm just kidding. That's actually still true, probably. But these are average guys. Simeon wasn't a priest, wasn't on the highlight list. He wasn't a rich guy. It says he was a devout man. He spent his whole life actually worshiping at the temple, which is kind of amazing. And this average guy got this promise. God tells him, "Hey, you're going to get to meet the Messiah. You're going to be there when he's dedicated." That's pretty cool. And he's waiting on this promise for a long, long time. But something unique happens. So he gets this promise that God tells him he is going to get to see the Savior of the world before he dies. But this little thing happens that day. Is Simeon is just rolling along, and the Holy Spirit gives him a tug. The Holy Spirit gives Simeon's heart a tug, and he says, "Hey, I want you to follow me today." And Simeon follows the leading of the Holy Spirit that day, and he goes to the temple. And at the temple, he sees Jesus. Just think about that for a second. The listening to the Lord, the believing, the following, the faith to confess and to move the Spirit and to move things into existence. If he would have not obeyed the Lord that day, guess what? Jesus got dedicated one day at the temple. One day. And then after that, they ran off to Egypt. If Simeon would not have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit that day, he would have missed the fulfillment of his promise. Now, if he missed the fulfillment of God's promise because he didn't listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit, would God have then not fulfilled the promise? Would God have been unfaithful? No. So this is one of the things I want us to get, is in our faith, it doesn't just require believing one time. Because if you're going to believe God for things, guess what you're going to get into the business of doing? Waiting a lot. And a lot more, and a lot more, because God is the God of the last minute. Always and always will be. I don't know why. I can't give you very many examples of when God just goes, "Hey, let's do this now." Abraham, right? We even see all these guys. They're all super old. And God's waiting all the way to the last second. And he's like, here we go. You're like, okay, great. And he's like, I can die. Dude's like ready. He's knocking on death's door loudly. He's got one foot on a banana peel and the other foot in the grave. And he's waiting and waiting and believing God for this moment. And if he didn't listen to the Holy Spirit that day and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, wow, he could have missed it. How sad would that be? Was that God's best for him? No. Man, he got, because of his obedience to the Lord and willingness to listen and keep listening and keep obeying and keep listening and keep obeying, how many promises are you discouraged about in your life that you think God wasn't faithful, but you just missed it? Do you know? I'm here to tell you it's time to stop pointing fingers at God. And let's just take a little responsibility for the fact that some of the things that might not have manifested in our life could possibly not be the Almighty, all-perfect God who always fulfills all of his promises, and just might be a little bit of our responsibility. Just saying, we might need to think about that. And what happens when we shift this responsibility is that we understand that even when I'm unfaithful, he's still faithful. Because, you know, there was another person there at the temple who was there to bless him if Simeon wasn't there. And it's this prophet, Anna, a woman prophet. Wow, in the New Testament. Can you believe it? It was there. Happened. We'll hear about her in a minute. But I want to encourage each one of us today that God is wanting us to partner and be a part of this amazing journey, and his will be done whether we join him or not. But how much more fun is it when we get to be like Simeon, someone who believed our whole life and was faithful and kept listening, believing, and obeying, and then all of a sudden, the very thing that God promised years, decades, who knows, 10 years, 1 year, 50 years, comes to pass and we get to see it. That's when the kingdom of God is really fun. But I believe God wants us to be a part of all these promises, and he wants us to experience the fulfillment of our faith and the fulfillment of the things he promised, we believed for, we took action for, and then we see manifested. And when we see it manifested, I believe we need to respond like Simeon does. Not only do we have to continue to listen and act our faith out to be in this moment, but when we're in this moment, here's what Simeon does. He grabs the promise. His promise was a little baby. I'm not sure Simeon was thinking, hey, the Messiah I'm going to get to see is going to be a baby. How many times do we miss the actual promise because we contextualize in our mind what the promise should look like? So many Israelites missed the Messiah because they imagined him as this big warrior king that was going to dominate all the Romans and take over the Roman Empire. Instead, he came as a baby. And they're like, no, I don't understand this, but Simeon got it. He shows up that day because he felt the Holy Spirit tugging him, and he's like, I'm looking for something the Holy Spirit's leading me to. And then the Lord showed him, there I am. I'm God. I'm with you. I'm right here in this baby. I am the Messiah. And he flips out. He's like, I saw it. And he scoops this baby up. He scoops up the promise in his arms. So cool. He got to hold the promise, the living God, in his arms. And then he does this. He embraces the promise, and then he praises God. So I'm telling you, when you see your promise come to fulfillment, respond like Simeon. Embrace it and praise. Embrace your promise. Hold it and praise God for it. Psalms 102 says, suddenly Jesus, that's not Psalm, suddenly Jesus. I just deleted it all. Psalms 102 says something awesome about worship. I butchered my notes, it's okay. Read it, Psalms 102. It's about worshiping God, I promise, it's really good. Embrace and praise. But let's look. Simeon, he scoops him up and he begins to praise the Lord. He says, He takes it in his arms in verse 20 and says, "Let your servant die in peace as you promised. I have seen your salvation." How beautiful is that? That he praises God and he lifts him up. But I'm telling you this, that worship is the response that is appropriate when we see the promise. Worship is the response that is appropriate when we see the promise fulfilled. So when God does something in your life, we praise. Now, I'm just going to give you a contrast. How many of you have words that you're believing God for? Come on, raise your hands. Right? We got lots of them. All right. Here's one of the tension points that happen in our life. This is really practical. Is we're believing God for something, and while we're believing him for the not yet, because God is the God of the not yet. The thing, he calls the things that be not as though they are. And we're longing for that thing, right? Is there pain in the longing? There's suffering in the longing. There's a gap in the longing. And sometimes there's doubt in the longing. Like, God, where are you? Why haven't you showed up? But in the midst of that, okay, how many of you, you raised your hands, you're believing God for something. How many of you have had God fulfill other things in your life, even though you're still waiting for that one thing? Okay, me too. In fact, I've had dozens of things that God has fulfilled in my life, even though I'm still waiting for this other thing. Am I embracing the things that God has already given me and worshiping for them, or am I doubting and wondering if God exists and if God is still faithful to me because I haven't gotten the next thing yet? It's like I got 20 presents for Christmas, and they were exactly what I wanted. I got my snowboard, I got my boats, I got my helmet, whatever it is, right? Wow. Right? You got your Robbie robot, right, Hunter? Okay. And you're playing with it and you got it. But then because of the longing for the next thing, the next pain in my life, I forget to worship him and thank him for the things and live in the thankfulness that I got to hold Jesus. Simeon, I promise you, that guy, that's all he thought about every day from that point. He lived like his whole life. I don't know how long the promise was, but he lived in the temple his whole life is what it said. Just being devout to the Lord. Waiting, because he knew. Years and years and years. And then when he finally got to hold Jesus, I imagine that's all he thought about every day. I held the Lord. I held the Lord. I held Jesus. I kissed the face. You know he kissed that baby. He kissed the face of God. Worship means to kiss the face of God. If we could hold and embrace the things God has done for us, like Jesus who came for us, we celebrate it every single year. And I think sometimes we minimize the things that God has done. And we forget to continually worship him and thank him for what he has already fulfilled. Embrace and praise over and over all the things that he has done. And then when we get to the pieces that we're still longing for, yes, there's pain, but now it has been contextualized in the midst of such gratefulness for God's true faithfulness and increases our faith that when we apply our faith to the thing that now still is not yet, that we can believe God was faithful before. He will never violate his word. He always comes through on his promises. He'll be faithful again. And I can now rest and sit in more contentment, whether I see the thing with my own eyes in my lifetime or not. I could be found faithful in my faith, like all of those in Hebrews 11 that died in their faith, not even getting to the finish line of the promise God made. They were only part of it. But God still fulfilled his promise. And he still will fulfill the promises he has for you and for me. But we have to learn how to embrace and praise what God has already done. There's another appropriate response for each one of us. And it happens just after this, is Anna, the prophet, is found in Luke, just right after this, Luke 2, 36. Anna, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Fanuel. Don't name your kids Fanuel, guys, okay? From the I shouldn't say that out loud. That's rude. Okay. From the tribe of Asher. And she was very old. Her husband died when they were married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night. Sheesh. Worshiping God and fasting and praying. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child who had been waiting expectantly for God in Jerusalem. She talked about him and shared him with everyone in Jerusalem. Everyone she met, she shared. This is cool. This prophet, Anna, is walking by and sees Simeon and is like, what do you got there? Are you holding the Son of God? I mean, that's not weird, right? You're holding the Son of God. This is the Messiah. He got dedicated today. The world's about to get shaken up. And she's a prophet, so of course she understands God speaking to her what's happening. And then she goes and tells everyone. Another appropriate response for you and I in our faith when we see it maturate and it comes to completion is to worship and tell. Embrace it, praise, and go tell. This is the Christian way. There is no other way, y'all. You don't have a private relationship with Jesus. When you kiss the face of God, when you meet him, you worship him. Even the Magi come and they meet him. And these are wise men. These are old dudes. These are people that are learned. They have wealth. And they come and they offer gifts of kings to a baby because they knew he was God. And they worshiped him. And they went and told, you worship and you go and tell what God has done. We sing about it. It's in all these great songs that we sing. Go tell it on the mountain, right? Over the hills and everywhere that Jesus Christ is born. This is what Anna did. This is what Simeon did. They embrace and they praise and they go and tell. We are called to be a city on a hill, a light to the world that cannot be hidden. That's our calling. And when we spend time together on Christmas Eve, this is one of the things that's my favorite part about the way we worship is we do this part of the candlelight service, right? And this is about us understanding that Jesus was the light of the world that came and he brought light to everyone. And by him coming, he shared his light with his disciples and those around him, and they shared his light and love with others, and it just began to spread and spread. All people come to know Jesus through the life and the love and the sharing of one disciple to another. And so when we light and worship team, if you'll come, if we can get a candle for me, and then let's get this party started. Kids, you ready for the candlelight part of the service? All right, parents, you get to manage your children wisely. Don't burn our assets or your assets. I have like 3 really good jokes that I won't tell. Some people think I don't have a filter, but I filter like 90% of the things I think about when I'm preaching, so be blessed, I guess. I don't know what else to say about that. So what we're going to do is we're going to light one candle, and then from there we're going to spread. And once your candle is lit, you can share it with others. Huh? You can share your light with others. And just be careful. But we're going to sing and we're going to worship and we're going to thank God for what he's done. And I want us to think about how our church is called to share the light and the love of Jesus with others. And that's one of the things we really, really want to excel at, is loving people well and telling them about the very thing that we embraced, which was the love of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this message, please connect with us at unitechurchak.org. We hope to see you soon.